Welcome, everybody, this afternoon as we're talking today about giving something and getting something in return, specifically charitable gift annuities. I'm Joanna Feltz. I'm currently the Director of Planned Giving for the Catholic Community Foundation, who is serving the parishes, schools, and ministries of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. I'm joined today with Phil Purcell, who currently serves as the Vice President for Planned Giving and Endowment Stewardship at Ball State University. Today we're going to be talking about specifically charitable gift annuities, but let's just discuss in just particular terms about different types of charitable gifts. There are bequests, charitable gift annuities, deferred gift annuities, charitable remainder trusts, charitable lead trusts, endowments, gifts of life insurance, personal property, real estate, or retirement plans, securities, and other assets, and also works of art. But like I stated a minute ago, we're going to be zeroing in on charitable gift annuities and deferred gift annuities. That being said, in general terms, charitable gift annuities, the current rates of charitable gift annuities are dependent upon the person's age. So you'll see from the illustration that if you are a donor who is at least 60 years of age, the fixed rates are 4.4%, and they go up from there. These are rates that are effective as of April of this year. We rely on the American Council for Gift Annuities in setting our charitable gift annuity rate. For example, if a potential donor would like to make a donation of $20,000 and get a charitable gift annuity in return, you will see by the illustration, if the donor happens to be 70 years of age, that the current annuity rate would be 5.1%, which would generate an annual income of approximately $1,000 a year, and the deduction that they would receive in return would be approximately $7,500. The payments with the charitable gift annuity work as follows. There's three tax components. First, you have a tax-free return of principal of the initial $20,000 that would have been donated in return for the charitable gift annuity. Part of the interest that is paid from the annual payment is taxable interest, but if the gift that is given, and later on in the presentation we'll go over some examples of different types of gifts, you would in turn get a reduction in the capital gain would be reduced, and the gain that would have otherwise been recognized if you would have sold the property in your own hands would have been spread out over the life expectancy of the person. As far as with a charitable gift annuity, once the person makes the initial $20,000 gift annuity gift to get the gift annuity in return, you have payout options with regard to that. So if you have a single donor, you're able to get income for one life. If they would also like to benefit a family member, they actually could opt in to doing income for two lives. There's also the flexibility, which Phil will talk about in a few minutes, about a deferred gift annuity, which would, in essence, allow someone who was in their 40s to make a charitable donation now with the idea that they would get a charitable gift annuity in the future. As far as once the charitable gift annuity is done, the things that are attractive about that is that it provides security as the payments are guaranteed by the Catholic Community Foundation. The income is fixed for life. There's not do not fluctuate based on market results, and there are no management fees that would be incurred with regard to the gift annuity. As far as tax payments, upon making the donation, in return, people get immediate partial income tax deduction. Part of the principal comes back, return of the principal tax-free. It also reduces people's gross estate because once you've made the $20,000 donation in return to get the charitable gift annuity, it's out of someone's gross estate and it's no longer a countable asset when someone passes away, as the death benefit will go to the charity of the person's choice. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, it also reduces capital gain tax, especially when there's appreciated stock or if real estate is used as a vehicle to make the donation. As far as income, again, as we stated a few minutes ago, the income is for life. It has a fixed rate. And as you would see, if you refer back to the table, if you look at that, it would show that the rates range from 4.4% to 9%. It can provide income for you and your spouse. And as I mentioned, it can also be for a single person, could benefit a family member if they would like to, you know, choose the family member to get the income for life versus them getting the income for life. As far as the agreement goes, I mentioned at the very beginning of the presentation, one type of charitable gift is charitable remainder trust. This is a simplified form of doing a charitable trust, wherein it's just a simple one-page agreement. Once you make the gift, it's irrevocable, but in turn, you get income for your life based on a fixed rate. At this point, I'm going to turn the presentation over and have Bill discuss a few things about deferred gift annuities.
Thank you, Joanna. It's a pleasure to be with you and glad everyone could join us today. As Joanna indicated, the charitable gift annuity is just a remarkable way to plan a gift to support the important work of the your local parish, the archdiocese, and other Catholic programs. The gift annuity, again, to refresh, is an opportunity to not only make a gift, but also receive fixed payments in return. The rates that Joanna mentioned, the way it works is that the rate is multiplied by the dollar amount or value of the gift given, whether it's cash, stock, real estate, whatever, and then the subsequent dollar amount is a fixed payment for the rest of your life. And Joanna mentioned that you have the opportunity to have payments for yourself if you are the donor of the cash, stock, or other assets, or you can name others, and Joanna specifically mentioned a spouse, but you can name other loved ones as payment beneficiaries as well, children, other family, friends, and so forth. Now, gift tax implications are involved if someone other than a spouse may receive the payments. But, and those, by the way, those two life gift annuity contracts can be concurrent. So essentially a husband and wife can receive equally rights to the current payment amount, or they can be subsequent. So one person would have entire right to the payments, and then at his or her death, then the survivor would receive it. So you have not only the option of having two people, but those two people can either be concurrent in their right to receive the payments or a successor. So these are all options you would want to discuss with Joanna as you're considering a gift annuity contract. So far what we've been looking at are what are known as immediate payment gift annuities. That is, you make a gift of cash, stock, or other assets, and we start the payments to you immediately. And by immediately, the actual dollar amount of the payment, the frequency of the payments are stated in your annuity contract. And so that's the way an immediate payment gift annuity works. Now what we'd also want to talk about is what's called a deferred payment gift annuity. And by the way, I know we're throwing a lot of information at you. Please do send questions. You have an opportunity to send us questions, and we'd be delighted to respond, and we can read those questions here and can either pause and respond during the context of the presentation or at the end. So take note of any questions you have as we go along. As this slide indicates, a deferred gift annuity is funded with, again, cash, stock, or other assets And the Catholic Community Foundation then has a promise to pay the named individuals payments starting at a future date. So it doesn't start immediately. It starts at a future date. And then at the death of the last annuitant, whether it's one or two per agreement, the remainder goes to the diocese designated for a parish, a scholarship, or whatever fund here at the Catholic Community Foundation you might designate. And so in general, it's a way to make a gift now, receive an income tax deduction now, but the actual payments don't start until some pre-designated date in the future. And so that's the general concept of a deferred annuity. So let's look at a couple of examples. First example is Jane. She's age 45. She transfers $20,000 in exchange for a deferred gift annuity, but her payments will begin until she turns age 66. And again, when she passes, then what the residual of that gift annuity will be designated for Catholic Charities. Now, a couple things to keep in mind. As indicated by Joanna earlier, and we're going to look more specifically at the numbers here, but Jane won't get a tax deduction for the full $20,000. The tax deduction is only a present value reflection of what the Archdiocese is projected to get down the road when Jane passes and they actually receive the residual. So the deduction always for a gift annuity, whether immediate or deferred, is something less than the actual value of what is given. Furthermore, you know, the obligation to make these payments, either immediate or deferred payments, are a legally binding obligation of the Catholic Community Foundation, the Archdiocese. So your payments are not contingent on market returns up or down. Your payments are fixed, and they're backed by the assets of the Catholic Community Foundation and the Archdiocese. So we cannot predict exactly what the residual of the gift annuity will be, but whatever is available there will be used for the designated purpose that you indicate. And keeping in mind that these donated assets are invested and they're paying the payments to the designated beneficiaries or annuitants every year, but we can't guarantee exactly what the dollar amount will be down the road, even though your payments are fixed. So let's look further and more in depth on how these payments work with another example. Here we have a donor age 66 and would receive $1,860 from a deferred annuity. By the way, we should mention that the gift annuity rates mentioned earlier by Joanna are, in the case of a deferred annuity, have to actually be calculated using software that is available here at the Archdiocese. So the breakdown of this $1,866, Jane at age 66 would receive $1,860. So again, she set this annuity up at age 45. She's now age 66. She starts getting her payments of $1,860 a year. And of that $1,860, $1,102.98 is ordinary income portion. The return of capital is $757.02. There's no capital gain portion because this gift annuity was funded with cash. And the upfront income tax charitable deduction for this annuity, when Jane set it up originally at age 45, was $5,477. And I'd like to make a couple points here as we think about deferred annuities. One is, in this example, Jane set the annuity up for herself. But it's possible for parents, grandparents, aunts or uncles to set up deferred annuities for loved ones. You know, it's quite common, for example, in this day and age, that we have a lot of boomers who've not adequately saved for retirement, or their retirement plans have decreased in value and they may not have available retirement funds. So mom, dad, other loved ones could do a deferred annuity and rest comfortably knowing then that their child or other loved one is going to have this fixed payment deferred annuity backed by the assets of the Archdiocese to help supplement the retirement income of a loved one. So that's a good thought that you might want to consider. You know, another question that often comes up with either immediate payment or deferred payment gift annuities is, well, how can the Archdiocese pay us this rate of return? Where are you going, so to speak, to get this high rate of payment? And the answer is that the Archdiocese, pursuant to these annuity rates and tables, is really dipping into the original gift amount to make each payment possible. And that, in fact, is exactly what the non-taxable return of capital represents. The IRS is presuming that the Archdiocese is dipping into capital and or the original gift amount, and this non-taxable portion of the regular annuity payment is reflective of that return of capital, hence it's not taxed. I might add that when you make a gift of cash for either an immediate or deferred annuity, the non-taxable portion of the payments goes up. So what happens when you give capital gain assets for a gift annuity, that capital gain inherent in the stock or real estate is relatively and ratably spread over the life expectancy of the annuitants, and that's how the capital gain then is spread over life expectancy and taxed with each annuity payment. And oh, by the way, it was not mentioned, but the annuity payments can be structured as quarterly, monthly, semi-annual, and that's discussed with Joanna up front when you set up your gift annuity. Once the payment schedule is established, then we cannot change that payment schedule. So careful thought has to be given at the front end as to how frequent you want these payments. But the Archdiocese will provide every year a tax form, the 1099-R, which will share the exact dollar amounts of ordinary payment income, tax-free return of principal, and or capital gain income if it's available, to the IRS and to the income beneficiary or annuitant for tax reporting purposes. But again, with every annuity, you get a generous income tax deduction. In this particular example, for Jane, who gave $20,000 cash at age 45, she would immediately get a $5,477 income tax deduction, which she could report on her income tax return for the year in which the gift is made. At that time, she gets the deduction. And then that money is invested by the Archdiocese, and then when Jane turns 66, then the income payments start to flow. We can even reserve in the deferred gift annuity contract the right for Jane to even say, you know what, now that I've turned age 66, I really don't need this income right now. And she can retain the right to defer those payments until even future further date out. That's called a flexible deferred annuity. And again, you discussed that option with Joanna at the initial stage of setting it up. So these are just good planning opportunities with a very wonderful and creative planning option called the gift annuity. So now what we want to do is talk about different kinds of assets that are suitable for charitable gift annuities, because there are some planning opportunities available for each. We're going to be talking about cash, stock, appreciated securities especially, although mutual funds could be used as well, real estate, municipal corporate bonds, mutual funds as mentioned here. So let's first take a look at gifts of cash for an annuity. So here is another example where a charitable gift annuity is funded with a gift of cash. Mary, age 80, considers using the cash from a matured CD. So as we all know, CD rates are paying at very low, less than maybe even 1% rates. So one beautiful thing about CDs, of course, is the fixed nature of the interest earned on the CD. But when it matures, Mary is left wondering, well, is it smart to reinvest my CD at a less than 1%, or should I consider a gift annuity that's going to provide me also a fixed payment amount but at a much higher rate? In this case, again, Mary, age 80, in return for $20,000 cash to fund a gift annuity, she is paid $1,360 every year as long as she lives. Through the rest of her life expectancy, of that $1,360, $1,120 will be tax-free payments. So by far, the vast majority of the income she gets every year from the gift annuity will be tax-free return of principal. Now, at the end of 9 years, that's the projected end of her life expectancy using the federal mortality tables. Now, if Mary is still living at the end of that 9 years, she will continue to get her payments from the gift annuity, but at that point, all of the payment will become taxed at her ordinary income tax rate, whatever her ordinary rate is. So the entire $1,360 will be taxed at her ordinary income tax rate at the end of her life expectancy, which is 9 years from the date of the gift. So again, her payments continue at the end of that life expectancy if she continues to live, but it's all taxed at the ordinary rate at that point. In addition, when she establishes the gift annuity at age 80, she gets a generous income tax charitable deduction of $9,462. This is an itemized deduction. Now, with a gift of cash, this deduction is subject to the 50% of adjusted gross income deduction limit. We'll see in a minute if Mary, instead of giving cash, if she gave stock or appreciated real estate or some other asset for the gift annuity, the deduction, when itemized, would be subject to the 30% of adjusted gross income annual deduction limit. But in this case, with a gift of cash for an annuity, this deduction is subject to 50%. Now, let's say that that's more income tax deduction than Mary can actually claim. Well, that deduction amount can be carried over to the next year, and you take as much deduction each year as you possibly can, and then carry over any excess for a total of 6 years. You get the year of the gift and 5 years. Now, you can't pick your year. You have to use as much deduction every year as you can, but if that's more deduction she can claim, based on the 50% deduction limit, she can carry over. So that's a very important planning tip for those of you considering especially larger gifts for gift annuities. Here is an example of a gift of cash for gift annuities, but now we're looking at two people. So Mr. and Mrs. Miller, age 78 and 79, and they give $40,000 in cash to the Catholic Community Foundation for an annuity. The annuity rate for their ages is 5.5%. Now, I'll stop here a minute and make a point that for immediate payment gift annuities, as well as deferred annuities, a two-life annuity will have a bit lower rate than a single-life annuity, even if all the ages are the same. The reason for that is that pursuant to mortality tables, whenever you're measuring two lives rather than one life, life expectancy is longer. So if you looked at the annuity rate for someone age 78 or someone age 79 singly rather than a two-life, the rate might be a little more than 5.5%. But some people, especially married couples, would like to have an annuity on joint lives. And again, as I said earlier, this annuity could pay to each of them at the same time, so they're each entitled to the entire amount of the annuity, or it could be successor, where one spouse is entitled to it all, followed by a surviving spouse. So at 5.5%, they're being paid quarterly, so they'd receive $550 each quarter, and you'd add that up to $2,200 on an annual basis. And again, these rates might vary from year to year in terms of what we'd offer. Now, once the contract is signed, the annuity amount is fixed. But keep in mind, this 5.5% rate, what we would offer might vary depending upon the year of the gift. And again, the Catholic Community Foundation follows rates that are recommended by the American Council on Gift Annuities. But all of this technique and these tax deductions are clearly allowed for in the Internal Revenue Code and the tax regulations they're in. So the Millers can count on getting these fixed payments for the rest of their lives. Even after one of them dies, the surviving spouse continues to receive the full amount for the rest of the surviving spouse's life. Plus, the payments are backed by the full assets of the Catholic Community Foundation so that the Millers can have confidence that their payments will always be there for them in the year the gift is made and when the payments start, and they can lower their taxes with a charitable income tax deduction, in this case, of $16,151. So here, for a $40,000 contribution of cash for a deferred annuity, their income tax deduction is $16,151. Now, again, these payments can be quarterly, annual, whatever they may want. And furthermore, the payments can be directly deposited into the Miller's bank account. And so it can be very conveniently arranged with the Catholic Community Foundation for ease of use for those deposits to be directly deposited. So that's another convenience factor that many people find helpful. Oh, we have a question in from an alert participant. The question is, in Jane's example, would the initial annuity payments be based on the original $20,000 amount or the increased value of the gift, which includes the interest earned at age 66? So in Jane's example, she gave, I think, $20,000. Yes, and the answer is that final annuity payment. Yeah, I was missing a letter there. So the annuity payments are based on the original $20,000. So literally what happens is the contract is signed. At that time, the rate is applied to the original dollar value of $20,000. If instead she gave an asset, we'd use the fair market value of that asset. And it's that value then multiplied by the annuity rate to determine the payment amount.
And just to reiterate, the follow-up to that question was about the final annuity payment. Would it be based on the original $20,000 or an increased value of the gift? And just leading into that, that the when Jane would pass away, so Phil just answered the question about how the annuity payment is judged at the time that it would start paying out. But then just to reiterate, when Jane would pass away, the final, you know, the payment is based on whatever is left from not having been paid out to Jane, and it does appreciate based on whatever our market return is at the time that we're holding on to the initial gift that was made by Jane. So that being said, we were talking a minute ago, Phil was talking about gifts of cash and using examples of one life or two life. You know, taking that a step further, one of the things that we see commonly is gifts of stock. So, you know, we have Harry who's age 77 and he's looking to want to make a contribution by utilizing the Catholic Community Foundation in order to benefit his parish, which happens to be St. Luke's. And so he knows at his death, you know, what was not paid out to him over the annuity payments would then go to St. Luke when he would pass away. He's looking at the fact that he happens to own, you know, highly appreciated shares. And for in our community, we see a lot of people who have highly appreciated shares in Lilly, and they would like to make a gift of those shares, which he's looking at it being worth $50 a share, and he had only had a cost basis of $10 per share and would prefer to have a deduction to offset any capital gain that may be generated by the sale of those shares. So he currently is only getting dividends that are yielding him about 1.5%, and so he finds it attractive that if he would make the gift of stock to the Catholic Community Foundation in exchange for the charitable gift annuity that's going to pay during his life, that our suggested rate would be 6-8%. Again, we rely on the American Council for gift annuities as far as setting those rates. So you can see that when he's looking at this, he's looking at right now only getting 1.5% during his lifetime and increasing that to 6.8%, and then also having a vehicle which to minimize the capital gain, that it makes it very attractive to consider doing this. And then he also has in his mind that he wants to benefit his parish when he passes away. So he sees this as a vehicle to increase his income by making the gift, benefit his parish when he passes away, and then also minimize the capital gain that would have been fully realized had he sold that outright. And so when you consider this, when we're talking to, when you're considering doing this, one of the things is, of course, people can hold the stock in their own hands and sell it and then turn around and make a gift to your parish, but we sometimes forget that we will then have to pay the capital gain as it sits in our own hands. So by Harry making the gift of stock to the Catholic Community Foundation in exchange for the charitable gift annuity that's going to pay him 6.8%, he is not going to have to fully realize that capital gain appreciation of $40,000 that he would have otherwise paid. So you can see how that might work on the next. If he would choose to do this, he would have a breakdown of payments of 6.8%, which would be approximately a monthly payment of $258 or an annual amount of $3,100. The capital gain portion of that would be the $1,936. The ordinary income amount would be $678. And again, as Bill had talked about earlier, the part that we're actually paying back from his $50,000 stock gift would be the $458 that he's going to, in essence, get back from his gift. In turn, he would get an immediate charitable income tax deduction of $22,000 approximately. And as Phil was talking about earlier, he would have that eligible to for the year of his gift plus continuing forward for 5 years to offset these payments that have a taxable character to them from an income tax standpoint. And so, you know, again, what I was just reiterating a minute ago is that you can see by taking the stock gift and making that in turn for a charitable gift annuity, Harry's accomplished several things. He has increased his, at 1.5% of $50,000, he would have been receiving approximately about $600 a year from that stock, and he's increasing that now to about $3,100. In turn, he is not going to have to realize the $40,000 of capital gain that he would have, and if his capital gain, let's just say the capital gain rate would have been 15% for long-term capital gain, so he's now not having to fully realize that, which would have been about $4,000 of capital gain that he would have realized, and he's also got himself a charitable income tax deduction of approximately $23,000, all because he had was charitably inclined to benefit his parish at his death, was looking at a way to avoid paying the capital gain tax on his highly appreciated stock, and so now he's put himself in a better position going forward to benefit everyone, including himself, with the gift that he's making.
Now we're going to shift gears and talk, instead of stock, about another kind of asset, such as real estate, to donate. One kind of important point to keep in mind is when you think about what assets might be appropriate for giving, think about, you know, like a CD we talked about earlier, where you're earning a very low interest rate and you're rolling it over for the gift annuity. Now, obviously, what many people need to understand, of course, is that when you make a gift for a gift annuity, you are giving up access, so to speak, to the principal. All you're entitled to receive is the annuity payment income from the annuity. You have given up access to the principal, so that's an important disclosure and disclaimer that is important for everybody to understand. But you can significantly enhance the payment income dollar amount. So in the case of the CD, you're getting a much higher rate of return. In the case of Joanna's stock gift, you're getting a higher, say, income flow than you were on the either the appreciation of the stock, or if it's a dividend-paying stock, maybe you're getting a higher rate of payment than you were getting from the dividends earned of the stock. In the case of real estate, again, it might be real estate that's not earning you any income. And now what you're doing is unlocking an appreciated asset, whereas if you sold the asset to reinvest in a portfolio, you'd have to pay 15 or more percent capital gains tax. But now we're exchanging this asset for an annuity payment income. So in this example, on slide 20, we have Jim, who's age 84 and does not want to be a landlord anymore on his rental property, but he purchased the rentals with a cost basis of $50,000. But he wants to receive income as he did when he was receiving income from his rental units. So Jim was able to transfer these highly appreciated real estate of now worth $300,000 for a charitable gift annuity. And the income from the annuity will at least replace the dollar value of the rental proceeds that he got from the apartment. So looking specifically at this gift, because of his age, the annuity rate that's offered to him is 7.6%. So that's $1,900 and an annual, and that's a monthly payment that he has selected for an annual amount of $22,800. Of this annual amount of $22,800, $15,623.21 will be the capital gain portion because there was a significant amount of capital gain on this asset, so a significant amount of the annual payment will be taxed at the capital gain rate. So really, you know, what he's done is if he had sold this asset all at once, he would have owed all that capital gain up front. But by doing a gift annuity, the capital gain liability is actually then ratably spread over his life expectancy, and this capital gain portion of his payment is taxed at the capital gain rate of 15%, let's say, whereas the remaining portion of the income, the ordinary income, for example, of $4,058.40 is taxed at Jim's ordinary income tax rate, which may likely well be above 15%, and the tax-free return of principal or return of capital amount is $3,118.39, and that's at a zero tax rate. So he's got some wonderful income payments, and his current immediate income tax charitable deduction is, look at this, $163,140.72. Again, this, because it's real estate, the deduction limit for this is 30% of Jim's adjusted gross income, but he gets 6 years. If that's more deduction he can claim for the year of the gift, he can carry over excess for an additional 5 years. So, and again, the payment portions, the capital gain, ordinary income, tax-free return of principal, is shared with Jim annually on a 1099-R form that the Archdiocese provides to Jim and the IRS, detailing exactly how much of each type or taxable type of income is received every year.
So just circling back before we open it up to additional questions, I just want to reiterate for everyone who is joining us this afternoon just kind of the mechanics of the charitable gift annuity. So, you know, we've talked about several things with regard to how this works, and one of the things is that basically you decide that you would like to benefit a charitable organization when you would pass away, and you realize that you will lose some control with regard to the principal of the asset, but yet in return you can boost your income. And so just reiterating, you know, the charitable gift annuities are based on a fixed rate at the time that the agreement is reached to make the gift. And so we rely on the American Council for Gift Annuities with regard to those rates. Additionally, once the rate is locked in than the person you would be receiving once you, let's just use the $20,000 that Jane had given. Once you give the $20,000 in exchange for the charitable gift annuity, then payments will be made until you would pass away. And then at the time that you would pass away, you would have designated where you would like that to go and would benefit the Catholic organization, the parish, school, or ministry that's part of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis would benefit from the remaining amount. So just to kind of, in general terms, just going over again how the mechanics of the charitable gift annuity can work. So if anyone has any questions at this time, we'll open up the floor for that. You simply send those in by the chat. We'll just wait a second and see, and I'll see if Phil has any additional comments that he would like to make with regard to utilizing the charitable gifts annuity.
One thing I'd encourage you to think about if you or if you're working with others who might consider gift annuities is the ultimate residual purpose of the annuity. You know, that can be spelled out either in the gift annuity contract and or in a separate agreement with the Catholic Community Foundation. So again, we don't know exactly, we cannot predict exactly what the residual will be. The calculated income tax charitable deduction amount is a projection of what that dollar amount might look like. So the income tax deduction value, we gave several examples today, is one way to maybe think about what the dollar amount will be at the end, because that's the IRS's projection of what it might be available. You know, it could be used to set up an endowment fund, for example, a perpetual fund named for the donor's family, and it can support their parish or other Catholic ministries. What a wonderful legacy that could be left. You know, a lot of people will do gift annuities, and the residual will be left to an existing endowment. So while they're alive, they make other gifts to create the endowment now, or maybe it's an endowment that's already been established by others. So the residual of the gift annuity can actually supplement a pre-existing endowment for a parish or Catholic Charities or other program for ongoing support. And so this is a very thoughtful way not only to either create a fund or to supplement a fund. And, you know, gift annuities can be combined with other planned gifts, you know, like bequests from a will or trust that Joanna mentioned at the beginning. You know, that can also be donated to establish a fund at the foundation. So the gift annuity can be partnered with other plans that have maybe other unique advantages available. We don't have time to talk about all those options today. But think creatively and open-mindedly about, and in particular about what this residual is for, and it's an amazing way to both help yourself and help the Archdiocese.
And with that being said, one of the things I just want to tell everyone who's listening this afternoon, this presentation will be available on our website, the archindy.org website, and please feel free to shoot me an email if you would like me to send you the link so that you could have it for your own reference, and then also if you would like to share it with anyone that you think might be interested. And one of the questions that we have is whether or not you can designate multiple people as a beneficiary for the charitable gift annuity. I know a lot of our examples that we used today just talked about the person naming one charitable interest, whether it was their parish or it was Catholic Charities, but you can actually designate multiple ministries, parish, schools, as long as it equals 100%. And we here at the Catholic Community Foundation, we currently even allow as long as 51% of it is left to a charitable organization of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. We occasionally have people that would like to leave it to another interest that they have, whether it's St. Vincent de Paul or the Benedictine Sisters, just to name a few, or Little Sisters of the Poor. We will allow that as long as they're part of the Kennedy Directory, which is a resource that we consult to make sure that they're approved to be included. So I only mention that as a question that came up, and that it doesn't have to be 100% left to your parish. It could actually be, again, a parish, a school, that's part of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and even taking it a step further, we would allow for a non-archdiocesan ministry to be included as long as they're part of the Kennedy Directory.
Another common question that comes up is, once I've set up a gift annuity, can I either add to it or do other annuities? And the answer is, well, you don't add to an existing annuity, but you can certainly create additional gift annuities at any time. For example, let's say you do a gift annuity for your son, a deferred annuity or an immediate payment annuity. Can I do a separate one for daughter or other loved one? The answer is yes. You can do as many gift annuities as you like. For as many different people, but per annuity contract, it can only be one or two persons per contract, but you can have other contracts with other gifts of cash, stock, or other assets. Furthermore, if you do a gift annuity in another year, so let's say you like the way the first annuity was set up, and then the following year you think you want to do another one, well, again, you want to talk to Joanna because it's quite possible that the annuity rates have actually gone up. As you get older, or as the other annuitant beneficiaries of annuities get older, their annuity rate may well go up. So what you need to do if you're considering a gift annuity is talk to Joanna. She's got software and can calculate illustrations for you and share with you in confidence what the tax benefits, income payments would look like. Again, there would be no obligation to receiving these illustrations. And you can share them with your accountant, your attorney, other advisors, and Joanna's available to answer these questions that they may have about how these work. She can share draft gift annuity contracts to take a look at. But taking a look at these illustrations, especially over time to see if the rates go up, is a very helpful way to make a decision. So, again, a lot of flexible planning opportunities with gift annuities.
Well, we'd like to thank everyone who was able to join us this afternoon, and if you have any additional questions that you would like to have answered, again, please feel free to contact me at jfelt@archnd.org. And again, as I stated a minute ago, this presentation will be loaded on to our Catholic Community Foundation website, and if you would like to have a link sent to you, so that you're able to review it at your own convenience. Again, please send me an email at jfelt@archnd.org. But we'd like to thank everyone for joining myself and Phil. And if there's anything that we can do for you in the future, please contact me. I'd be happy to walk you through the mechanics of the charitable gift annuity. And as Phil stated, be happy to provide you with any illustrations that would make sense based on what your charitable intent is. Thank you and have a great week.